This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
What else I like about you right now?
No, you're not having my drink. It's mine.
Just poke me in the eye with that thing.
Welcome to show 26 of the Cubby House podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about games because we've got a couple of gamers in the room and one guy who's currently addicted to a game called Naughty Bear. We're also going to be talking about a bit of politics on for the young and old. All here on show 26 of the Cubby House podcast. Tonight, we've got Kevin. Welcome back.
Hello.
How was your first show from last week?
I'm still recovering.
Uh-huh. The other two guests we have tonight, and this is starting to sound like a game show. Please forgive me. We have Luke, who's currently on the committee of the Vic Bears 2009-2010, am I correct?
Yes, my second year on the committee, with a third one possibly coming up with the AGM in a couple of weeks.
Good luck with that one.
Yes. He's not just on the committee. What is your title?
I am the Vice President. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would have liked the introduction to be Vice President Luke Mitchell, but apparently that's fine. Well, we'll work on that for next time. That's
yes, I've been told not to give titles because you're not just the Vice President, I'm told.
Oh, I'm many things, am I? What else am I? What have I been told?
Well, we know the official fluffer role has been taken, so it's not you.
No, it wasn't me. I was on stage when the fluffing was happening. Mm. I saw it in the corner of my eye inside.
That's right, Southern Hibernation.
Yes, we just had Southern Hibernation. We'll have a bit of a chat about that. And somebody else who was organising Southern Hibernation and was eagerly in participation and running them, I believe, is Joe. Hey, are you?
I'm not bad.
Oh, goody.
No complaints.
Excellent.
Can I buy a vowel?
Too soon. We love you, Adriana Xenides.
Hasn't she passed on?
Yes, she died about 3 weeks ago.
Yes. So, well, we're now post-hibernation as opposed to the last show. Roughly, how did everybody feel about it?
Oh, from a Vic Bears standpoint, we couldn't be happier, really. It all came together much, much better than we kind of thought it would when we were planning it, I think. We were all sort of a little bit stressed about it. There were lots of changes in the committee over the year, but it all came together really, really good. And everybody who came had a good time, I reckon.
Massive success, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the events went off without a hitch, which is awesome. It was less stressful for me than last year's hibernation was, and last year's hibernation seemed more organised beforehand going into it. But this one, even though it was stressful beforehand, the week itself just ran really great. So we were stoked.
And as assistant photographer, Kevin, how did you feel about...
Assistant photographer? What is this word, assistant, that you use?
Well, okay, I was apparently the official photographer, but you were...
Hanger on.
Number two.
Backup photographer.
Butt monkey.
Plan B.
Actually, yeah, no, it was my first time. And I think the best comment I made out of the entire week was, it took 7 days to pop my cherry. 7 days.
Can you define that?
Please.
No.
And being a photographer, is there imaging?
No. Well, unfortunately, there's one photo that I'm not allowed to veto out of the Underbear Nights.
Look forward to that one.
Yes. This is the first year that we've actually done photos on the Underbear Night, isn't it?
That is correct.
I reckon it went to really, really big success.
Well, it was well looked after as well, because you guys had the setup in the front room so you could ask them if they wanted photos taken, because the issue with Underbear is people don't like the random photos being taken of them in the back room or on the dance floor getting blown by some guy. It's not the thing you want to be tagged in on Facebook necessarily. So having the option to have the photo at the front as you're going in was a really cool idea, so that worked really well.
A lot of people got really into it.
Yeah.
Like, we would ask them and, you know, some people were like, nah, and they'd walk away, and then people would come back and we had repeat customers.
Yeah.
Because they wanted, you know, two or three photos. They're like, no, I want to do that again, or, you know, this is fun.
Yeah, I saw like 17 photos of Cookie on the roll.
Being an editor of the Vic Bears newsletter, is there any way we could get Kevin to include his image as a cover image?
A cover image?
We're looking for a good cover photo.
Best in show 2010.
We have one of Rick with two men all over him. But that help?
When was that taken?
Oh,
inside Underbear.
And we have one of a very famous Vic Bears vice president doing a very famous pose.
Oh, yes, we do. We
I vetoed that. I completely vetoed that.
It works both ways. We have a really good shot of you with, you know, a very well-known pose.
And I was a smart one who avoided the camera.
Want a bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course you did. Keep thinking that.
Can I veto that? Do I have it? Like, I haven't said it yet, but can I veto it?
Well, I don't know. We have to have a copy that will be going out to the Laird really soon, because we've been tagging them with all the days, like the names of what event it was, at the bottom corner of it, and that will be going out to the Laird. So it'll be up there for everyone to see.
And the person in charge of the website, Vic Bears, has the choice to put the ones they want on the actual website, and that person is me. So that's very exciting as well.
So just, I guess, like, the answer is we can veto, but no, Joe, you can't veto.
But you can tell me, and I'll look after you, maybe.
Or you could make it worth our while.
Can you define that?
No, it's, can you put that in a sentence?
Well, yes, but he'd be a smartass and just put those same words into a sentence. He wouldn't define it. I want definition.
So how many days did it take for you to lose your Simon hibernation cherry, Joe?
We have a cherry now.
Apparently.
Well, Kevin, grow back for Kevin hibernation?
Kevin lost his after seven days.
Well, I was really busy as well, so cause I was working during the day and running out that night, you know, at night to take all the photos.
I'd like you to define cherry popping, though, because I saw you do some things at Underbear that I don't know if I would necessarily say didn't count.
What do you mean? There were no photos of it. It never happened.
But it's burned into my
brain.
Are
there photos of you popping your cherry for the real time?
At this point in time, I'm not at liberty to say, but...
Can you define that?
No! Stop with that defining. No one defines things. It was a really great year. Like, it was my first one. It was great.
Yeah, it was your first bear run ever, yeah?
Yeah.
Woo! That's cool. Yeah, that's really great. Yeah.
It was fun. I want to buy my tickets for next year already.
Yes.
And I'll be happy to take your money.
That's what we do.
I would definitely advise it to anyone that, you know, hasn't gone yet for whatever reason. Give it a go. It's a really great event. I had so much fun, and it was so much unexpected fun. The guys there were great. The sense of community, it's fun.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd say as well, like, I mean, I found this with my first hibernation last year, is that you really do feel like you find your place in the community where you might not have found it before. Did you find that? I mean, you hadn't...
Behind the camera? No, I don't want that to be my place in the community.
Not behind the camera, but I mean in terms of being social with big groups of guys from interstate and the bear scene and stuff like that.
I'd say that, definitely. I'm looking forward to next year not actually being a photographer for some of the events.
Well, yeah, because I've done two hibernations and I've helped run them both. I've never actually done a hibernation just to enjoy it before. So it's interesting for my perspective. I've done other bear runs, I've done Nexpo, I've done Bear Essentials and stuff like that. But in terms of hibernation, I was on the committee last year for the first one I did, and I was vice president for this year. So I'm jumping on the committee again probably for next year. So wow. I haven't actually enjoyed it properly yet.
I'll tell you what, from my perspective, it's been quite interesting because the first one I went to was 2 years ago. I only went to two nights and I didn't get much of a feel for it. The next year I went, I was a competitor, ironically. I was on crutches at that stage, so I did it from a very handicapped point of view.
Good job considering that too.
They were very sexy crutches.
Why, thank you.
They were hot.
Yes. Didn't someone fall off the stage in that event?
That was, yeah, what was his name? What was that guy?
It was not me.
No, but wasn't he affiliated with you at the time?
It was during your act, right?
It was during someone's act.
No, he didn't fall. He was close to, but he didn't fall.
I didn't miss that. I was disappointed that I missed that.
Yeah. Oh, I got to see that. Is there footage? And I got to see some of the other things as well that I wish I hadn't seen. Although I will say the paint can, I'm still impressed.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was...
Yes, the no hands lifting of the paint can.
Yeah. All New Zealanders do that. I think I need to get a couple more New Zealand people's numbers. Just, you know.
But I'll tell you what, the year after you do your competition, the year after you're a competitor, it's funny because as a photographer, I went back and I replayed everything that happened for me last year with other friends I knew. It was really awesome to see them go through and them get the thrill of the chase and the whole kit and caboodle. It was great. Love it. Recommend it to anybody.
It's a great chance to reminisce about those things. Hibernation happens once a year and it's a pretty big event. And to come every year, yeah, you see the same people in some regards, but you just build these stories and these relationships and these foundations that you can always talk about, which is great.
Stories and relationships. Come back to the year after the guys that come back that you did your competition year with and the stories you hear from some of the stuff they've done. It's amazing. Catching up with some of the other guys, there were still a few flames held over from a whole year ago of guys who I'd still like to catch up with on many levels.
Isn't that a standard thing? You go to Southern Hibernation, you end up, you know, accruing this list of people that you have to sleep with.
Yeah, it's so like, you don't have see you next year.
You don't have to, but you'd like to, yes.
That's why you go to the other bear events when you do have time to do those things around the other states. So you tick off your Brisbane list and you go to Nexpo and you have your Brisbane list. That's what I would assume you would do anyway if you were to do that.
Yeah, you're going to tell us your secrets, Luke?
That was the sluttiest thing I think I've ever heard you say. And you come out with a lot.
That's a lie. I've said sluttier things than that.
Well, today anyway.
No, it's good to build those ties to go to other bear events in the country so you know you've met them at hibernation and you go up there. It's like, especially for you like as well, Kevin and Cookie. You go up to Nexpo or whatever now, and they'll be like, you can be like, oh, I was the photographer. I took your photo of Underbear. Oh, yeah, you did too. It's instantly all connected within this big bear family, which is awesome. So, I like it.
I'll give it a go. I've been invited to one of the next events. What's next on the list?
Bear Stock in November, you mean?
No, maybe it's not that one. I thought there was one that was coming up that someone invited me.
Northern Exposure. It's Brisbane. And I told you about it, and I want you to come.
You were the one, yes. Yes. See, this is my memory bad.
You have to come. It's awesome. So do you, Joe.
Really?
I invited you last year as well, and you didn't want to. It's a timing thing, though.
It is a timing thing.
It's hot, and I don't like hot.
It's very hot and sticky, but...
That's only because you create it. You create the hot and sticky.
Come on.
You enjoy the hot and sticky, don't you, Luke?
No, I didn't.
Hot and sticky is the good
part. I didn't, actually. One day I got dehydrated and nearly passed out, but...
So you were hot and clammy.
No, I was walking. They had this stupid event. It was a walk. I'm sorry if the Brisbane guys are listening. They know it was a bad event because I'm not doing it this year. There was just this walk around Brisbane. It was a friggin' hot day, and we just walked for fucking hours and hours. And all the Melbourne guys were just dying by the end of it because we weren't used to the heat adjustment at all. And after the first half, they're like, hey, that's halfway. And we're like, fuck, that's only halfway. Are you kidding me? We all went back to the room, back into the pool, and just relaxed the rest of the day. Said, yep, enjoy your walk. So,
me and a bunch of friends from work went on a ghost tour in Melbourne, which we were like, you know, it's going to be really exciting. Hopefully, you know. See here something. Turns out to be just this guy dressed up as a priest wandering around with 100 people following me around the back streets of Melbourne, and he's just like, this is an alleyway, something happened in this alleyway ages ago, let's move on. And we got to the halfway point of that and we're like, yeah, we can fuck this off, and just yeah, we end up at like Nando's or something. We're like, yeah, well, this could be fun, but let's
Nando's
not.
Nando's is much better.
You all went back to a pool. Did you go in and swim naked?
No.
Okay.
But there were guys that did. Because it was really cool. This apartment building that we sort of were staying at was organised by one of the Sydney Flight Centre guys. And so we actually ended up having like, you know, 15 bears staying in the one building. And so we all kind of corrugated around the pool every day and had barbecues by the pool and just sat in the spa and sat in the pool. And it was really awesome. It was like mini events outside of the actual event. So it was cool. And there were a couple of guys swimming naked in the pool.
The reason I ask is, the many things I walk past and listen to is, I heard a teenager say that naked men swimming is wrong. And I'm just thinking, that's from your perspective, honey, but from my perspective, that's okay. How do you feel about that from being gay and being in the bear community and general bringing up and what?
Can I answer?
Go for it.
I really, really love your segue just then. It was so subtle. Personally, from my perspective, any naked man is a good man, unless you look like a beached whale, which some people do in a pool, and I'm rambling, let's move on. Any naked man's a good man. If they happen to be swimming, it's good from pretty much all angles, especially if you have fortunate experience to swim underneath them. Again, I'm rambling. Let's move on to Kevin. Kevin, what do you think about naked men swimming?
I can't say that I, you know, spend a heck of a lot of time sitting there thinking about naked men swimming. But I guess it goes with all naked men and whatever they're doing. If they're attractive, I'm happy for them to do whatever they're doing.
As long as they're attractive.
As long as they're attractive, I'm happy with them to be naked and doing whatever they want.
So you prefer the naked men not to be swimming?
I don't really care.
Unattractive men shouldn't swim.
Or you say the unattractive men should be swimming and all the attractive men should be doing
something
else.
You guys are twisting my words into ways that, you know, they're not meant to be. But
so you're twisting
you
unattractive
men
naked
doing
men.
Stuff with you?
Yes, Luke, you're twisting unattractive naked men.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because actually this happened during hibernation at one of our events, Bear Soup. Let's plug the event that just happened, why not? There was a guy that I personally don't find very attractive who dove into the pool and started doing like breaststroke underwater and swam past in the nude. And a friend of ours, Dan, I said, oh, that looks kind of hot. And I sort of went, yeah, it does. Who is that? They popped out of the water. I realized who it was. And I went, oh, my God, no way. Because under the water, I'd do them. Outside the water, no. So I was, you know what I mean? It was interesting. It was a different perspective is what I'm saying. The ripple effect of the water and the... You're laughing. It's true. Like,
how can you not laugh at that? The ripple effect, I'd do him underwater.
That's like saying, you know, I'd go to a pub and, you know, I'd half blindfold myself, but, you know, I'd still have sex with him. It'd be good.
He came out of the water. And I was like,
yeah, you covered this part. It's still not making much sense.
It's fine. My point is, water can be good.
Okay, one last question before we move on. Do you think the rest of the world needs a re-education of this whole naked wind swimming is a good thing? Or?
You're basing this off one comment that some little teenager made as she was getting off the train. I don't think the world needs to be re-educated on pretty much anything.
Not to mention the fact this little girl getting off the train could quite possibly have been a lesbian. So she has an innate, you know, inbuilt thing to hate men at all, let alone naked men swimming. So
the reason I bring this up is, you know, well, Miss Teen USA makes a comment and the world goes mad, a teenager on the side of the road that probably has a similar point of view from the world.
Miss Teen USA was really dumb.
But she might have the same, like, this girl that you heard say that might just be, like, scared of cuties and stuff like that as well. Like, it's not really well educated herself. They're like, ooh, naked men swimming, this is wrong.
So, should we re-educate them one at a time?
No, I think it'd be way more interesting to actually stalk her for, like, the next 20 years and come back at 20 years' time and say, you said this. What do you think now?
Not to mention the fact if you want to go and spend half your life educating a bunch of women, that's all well with you. I'll look after the men.
What if it was a guy that said it?
Even better. I can educate him.
You had to say that, didn't you? Yeah.
I can tell Mr. Cub here is being very naughty and turning his back away from us.
Hardly. It was all part of the conversation. I'm trying to look up something, you know, Captain Planet live action.
Oh, I thought you were looking up the
Rocket
Cheats.
No, I was totally making that up.
No, there is. Apparently, there was a story about it being directed in 2009.
Oh. A story about it being directed by The Rock. That would be the worst movie ever.
Continue. I'm sure you have a stunningly better topic to move on to.
I thought you were looking up cheats for the game that you just purchased and you're so addicted to.
Oh, that was a nice subtle segue as well.
It's getting good, hey?
Yeah, it's very good.
What game are you playing, Kevin?
Naughty Bear.
Naughty Bear. How very relevant is that?
Well, it's a bear podcast, so I suppose it's very relevant. And have you seen my housemate?
Funnily enough, yes.
Well, hello. Yes, that's me.
I'm glad you clarified that because I had no idea.
Well, yeah, okay.
Are you a naughty bear, Kevin?
I am not, well...
can we redefine this definition of naughty?
What do you do in the game, Kevin?
As far as legal standing goes, I am not, and never will be, a naughty bear. And that's my final word.
Interesting.
No, it's a really great game. It's one of those games that we kind of just stumbled on.
Yes.
Thanks to my best friend in Geelong. And I'm kind of like, this is going to be the lamest game ever, blah, blah, blah. And then you actually get into it and it's this cute little fuzzy island with all these cute little bears running around called Sunshine and Daisy Buttercup and, you know, Mary Jane Sue, whatever.
So it's Care Bears.
It would be so much better if it was, but sadly it's not. And there's all these weapons lying around and the idea is that you basically just run around and stab them in humorous and fun ways.
Does their stuffing fall out?
Well, that's the fact. There's no blood. There's just white stuffing that comes out.
And they
lose
little button eyes and stuff.
Yeah. You can blow them up. And you can catch them in bear traps. And you can electrocute them. And you can
grill their face on a barbecue. Don't forget the barbecue.
You can.
So it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto, but not.
Cute.
But cute and berry.
And there aren't any prostitutes yet.
Wait, there'll be a patch come out for that.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just amazed that you know so much, yet you've played so little comparison to the whole game.
That is pretty much the game.
That's the game. There's not much more to it.
You just pretty much do it in new and exciting ways. Like the first chapter is the teddy bears are having a birthday and, you know, you don't get invited because you're a naughty bear. And you decide to do the right thing and take a present and sort of say, hey, hi, I just want to be a friend, blah, blah, blah. Well, they don't actually speak. They're kind of like, meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, yeah.
Other subtitles.
But it has an English narration though, it's English pommy narration. It's like, oh no, naughty bear, don't they like your present? And they just go on and it's
On his way to the birthday party, they laugh because they see him with the present, like to the people that are going to the party. So he goes home, throws the present in the fire, grabs an axe or machete or something and goes back to the party and decides to punish them. Except the narrator totally eggs him on.
He does, the narrator pushes him into it a little
bit. Yeah, he's like, naughty bear, that's so rude. You should throw that present in the fire and go back and teach them a lesson.
Can I just say, from my perspective, that sounds like a pretty reasonable response to that.
Do you often go home and grab axes and go back to the scene of people that are rude to you?
Normally.
I sharpen them.
Yes, well, I suppose the world would be...
But Joe's never left out of parties, though. He always gets invited. So it wouldn't be an issue, right?
Am I?
I don't know, are you?
I'm going to be very careful not to tell him about any parties that he wasn't invited to from now on.
So, Kevin, why do you play Naughty Bear? What's in it for you?
You mean besides getting to kill cute, fuzzy, teddy bear type things?
Yeah, well, like, what's the motivation?
It's a great stress relief. It's fun. It's amusing. Why else do you play games? Why else do you play games, Luke?
You shouldn't ask me that. It's a loaded question.
Well... Why do you play video games?
Part. No, it's still a loaded question.
On your video phone.
Not Beyonce here. Why do you play video games? All sorts of reasons. To escape from reality, obviously. That's the main purpose, right? So Naughty Bear is obviously good at that. You can kill bears and it takes you out of that day-to-day, 9-to-5 job place and you can just rip the heads off stuffed animals and stab them in the face and things
actually,
like that.
I haven't found a way to rip the head off yet, but I'm
fine. I'm waiting for it too, actually. Yep. But
well, it's close. You've got a
You'll get
club.
There. You've got to build up to it, yeah.
Well, there are apparently 200 ways to kill them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep
Have
playing
Have you started
it.
Counting and documenting those ways?
No, but you get trophies every time you hit a certain number of them. And if you keep on doing the same move again and again and again, you actually get less points for it. So you have to be imaginative.
Please.
It's a pretty shallow game, mind you. I'm trying very hard to keep my inner critic.
Okay, well, Naughty Bear aside, Final Fantasy, how many stories have they made?
I've lost count.
I think they're up to 13.
Yeah, but they've had spin-offs as well, though, so it doesn't actually encapsulate everything. You know, you have 10 and 10-2 and 12. and then you had, like, you know, the Versus games and the Crisis Core and all the Tactics games as well.
And There's how many like, hours would you spend on each game, roughly?
Too many. Probably about 200 hours to a Final Fantasy game. Easy. And I've played through them all. So.
Is that including the one with the dresses where you have to run around and get the different outfits?
Tend to.
That's correct, yes. Oh, that one wasn't as long as 200 hours. That one was a bit shorter. It was more of an action-y type one. But
was that the one you enjoyed the most, though? Just running around shopping? Like, because it suits your personality.
Oh, thanks.
And
no,
you
not quite.
You got bitch slap, so you got the dress.
No, my favourite Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy 9, but let's not talk about that, because I can talk about Final Fantasy for a whole, like, podcast. Mm, like, 3 hours.
Okay, well, what's in it for Final Fantasy? What drives you to keep playing it? Because it's obviously a different type to, say, Naughty Bear, which is just senses constant endless violence. Final Fantasy is more of a storyline and anime style. Yeah. What drives you to play those sort of games?
Look, you want to know what happens with the story, but, I mean, Japan and with companies like Blizzard who have made Warcraft as well have caught on to the fact that leveling up and getting stronger is an addictive actual asset of video games. So it's not so much the idea of progressing in the story as it is actually getting stronger and getting that next ability which will make you even stronger, which then gives you access to a new ability you can go to try and get. So Final Fantasy has that aspect to it where you want to get stronger and stronger and stronger to beat that last boss as easy as you can. And Warcraft is designed that same way, which is why it makes billions of dollars.
I'd return, sort of rebut that with the fact that Final Fantasy is famous for its character progression.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons I've played the few couple of games is that it really sucks me in by having like 20 million different types of characters and each of their storyline progresses in a different way and yep. you are interested in every single one of them.
Just out of yep. curiosity, because I don't know, I don't play Final Fantasy, how does that link in with the movie or does it not?
The movie is a separate entity. All within itself. The Final Fantasy is more of a concept than an actual same place, same characters. Every game, for the most part, there's a couple of exceptions, but every game has different characters and different storylines. They're all similar, though. There's always like a big evil political power that's kind of taking over, and then you with a few sort of misfits band together to try and fight the power. It's always similar in that regard, but the movie was a sci-fi type thing, which was totally different from
left field.
Anything else that Final Fantasy had really been. More of a show off of the graphics.
And the movie was also a morality play in a certain way because it sort of had one theme that it just kept banging on again and again and again. Advent Children was kind of cool, but that was also more of a nod to Final Fantasy
VII.
Yeah. Had Cloud in there and everything, yeah. But I think the movie was more of, because Final Fantasy traditionally was always the game that came out with the best graphics on each console. Like whenever Final Fantasy came out, everyone stopped and went, wow, that looks fucking amazing. And so they had the technology to actually make a full-length movie with realistic-looking people. So they kind of just took on the technology and gave it the Final Fantasy branding so that it would market well, even though the story was totally unrelated. So
cool.
That'd be my assumption anyway.
I don't play those type of games at all. I try and avoid them. My favourite game's like SimCity.
Okay, now that is a game I cannot understand, only because it has no storyline.
Take that back.
Okay, wow. It doesn't have an obvious storyline.
Thing for myself, playing a game like that, I like to build and watch scenes grow and get bigger and expand and things like that. That sounds very double entendre, doesn't it? No.
Yes.
Kevin, I saw that look on your face. You were the one thinking it. I know.
Yeah, I didn't verbalise it, thank God.
Yeah, but no, I find those games, I really enjoy them because you start out small and then you grow and it's the enjoyment of watching the development and improving things, basically, and that's the appeal for me. Yeah.
Does it have an end point for you, though?
No.
So it's something, basic SimCity 3000 or something, you could play it today and go back to it 10 years and you'd still have the same...
I have SimCity 3000 myself. That's the one I play.
Okay.
And I've been playing it for 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. Love it. Go back to it tomorrow if I could find the disc. I just moved house.
Okay.
To a certain degree, original Warcraft 3 was kind of a similar thing as well. But, you know, we had... the war.
And the obvious story and the end point to it as well, though.
Yeah, but it's still that micromanaging type of effect. Like, if you took World of Warcraft 3 and only took the building of the city itself.
It's kind of like something like an Age of Empires type theme.
I love Age of Empires.
Yeah. So good. But
although I was cheated and got the black laser guys, and you used to put them in the front, and they used to decimate because this red laser just went across the screen and killed everything it touched.
I used to like use a cheat to get the little black car, and you could just drive around in your little fast car around the map and just blow things up. That was my favorite part, but totally unrelated to the actual gameplay.
Yes, games are good for their cheats.
Yes, you're beating me, I will cheat against you. There's a Star Trek game, which I personally really like, that's a lot like it in that.
Not Star Trek Online.
No.
You haven't played that yet, have you?
No, I haven't. You haven't got me the free sample yet.
I can't just get free samples.
Yeah,
for you.
But no, it's called Armada, and it's basically, it has a very fixed storyline where it's basically based in episodes. That's like 40 or 50 episodes per campaign, and you have, you know, you set mission goals, and it's building as a big storyline. And if anyone liked Star Trek nowadays, you'll understand what I'm talking about, that it builds and builds and builds and builds, much like an episode or a movie. But no, it's good.
Fair enough.
But it's based very much on the Age of Empires type style of game, where, you know, you've got your little camp over here and they've got their little camp over there, and you meet in the middle and blast the crap out of each other, and one of you win. So I enjoy that game too. It's a good de-stressor.
I think games offer many different things for many different people. I mean, you have the online gaming, which is honestly most of us just sort of combat fighting each other with guns and things, and it's just different map and you jump in there, kill the opposition, that's the only goal, kill them, dead, you win, you lose, whatever, play the next match. And the idea of that being so great is the social aspect. I think where video games today are so effective is the social part of it. Games like SingStar, like Buzz, even the Wii, to a large extent as well with Wii Sports and crap like that, it actually brings people together to play video games around a television set, which previously you didn't really have that much. You had the odd exception with maybe Mario Kart 64 or GoldenEye, where you sit around your 64 and play together in a room. But apart from that, it hasn't really been that. And so
it's kind of taken the LAN concepts and more made it multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, LAN parties, I only went to one or two, and it was like, you know, Command & Conquer 2 or something like that. We'd all bring computers over, hook up to a connection network, and you just play against each other all in the same house or room or whatever you've got. But it's good that it makes it a game such as the SingStar and Buzz. It actually involves people, and you're not always playing the same type of game. You can mix it up as well. There's that, and then you got the MMOs, which has been most famous commercially for Warcraft.
Yeah,
but the problem as well is how much of that has become commercialized now. Like, you look at the PlayStation 3 and the fact that it links to your wireless network and blah, blah, blah. And all these games are now coming out with content that you need to actually use more than one person on to get to that content. So it's almost like, yeah, I buy this game, you know, 25% of my content I can't even access unless I have a second person there to play.
It's a cunning way of doing it.
Yeah.
I would disagree. I think it's really well promoted. If you're into video games at all, you can see clearly where the content lies in the game, whether it's going to be online mostly or offline or with on multiplayer or not. I think if you're uninformed about video games, then sure, you go into a store, you look at the covers, you go, that looks kind of cool. You might take it home and get kind of upset about it, maybe. But there's return policies and things like that. And if you know about video games in the slightest, you'll know what you're getting before you go and get it. Impulse buyers would mostly be parents and little kids that wouldn't know any better, I would imagine. And casual gamers who don't look into it that much. So, and that's from my perspective, obviously sort of being in the industry a little bit, that you know what you're getting. People should know what they're getting, and if they don't, they should do their fucking research.
And to do that research, I recommend you visit palgn.com.
www.palgn.com.au.
Oh, sorry, .au.
.au. It's very important.
Nice plug.
It wasn't even me. I was thinking of doing it, and I thought, no, I won't do that. And then my best friend did it for me, so thank you.
I'll accept the bribery later. Star Trek Online.
Actually, you might know, what happened to Stargate Online, Stargate Worlds, whatever it was?
Oh, look, Stargate Worlds is still technically in the process of being made. It's one of those things that's been put on the shelf for a long, long, long time.
How long has it been in beta now?
A couple of years, easy. Yeah, look, I really hope it gets made, but that was announced about, what, 4 or 5 years ago now, I think, and it was meant to come out 2 years ago.
It'd be really good if they could actually get something like that out, because Stargate, the series, if anyone likes Stargate, again, sci-fi fan, has a really, really, really rich storyline, and it uses a lot of mythology and everything in it, which is, it's really well written into the series.
And it's expanded enough.
If they can expand it enough into the game as well, it'd just be fantastic.
I love the idea of, you know, Warcraft, you're flying those fucking birds to get from place to place, and it takes, like, you know, 10 years to fly from this island to this island because they're on the other side of the world. So Todd, do a Stargate, just ride through that Stargate and zoom zoom in the other side. That's awesome. I love that. I want to do that. Jump in a Stargate and to go through the portal and shit.
Yeah, but the portal theory's been around for a while.
Yeah, but Stargate
it's just in a different format.
Stargate makes it cool.
Yeah, hello, it has an event horizon.
Exactly. And Carter.
I second that. Go Carter.
I'm a Rodney fan.
Oh.
I wasn't to start off on with. Like, when he started, I just wanted to punch him, but then he kind of just grew on me.
So I initially just went for Teal'c because he was the most sort of muscly, bearish looking person of the crew. And until...
Ronan.
No, Ronan. Ronan, yes. Ronan. In Atlantis.
Atlantis with the dreads.
Yeah.
Woof. Although, having said that, watching enough Atlantis, you see that he's not very impressively portioned in certain places.
So it's always the warrior class, the warrior character of the team that comes in. And
well, they're more manly, aren't they, really? I mean,
But having said that, I mean, the appeal really of Carter and McKay as well, they go, they have the science, the geeky, the...
Yeah, Carter's, you know, pretty manly too.
You're attracted to the intelligence as well, so...
True.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Rodney and a... what's the doctor, the Scottish doctor?
In the first... In Atlantis or SG-1? Atlantis. Who was Kaylee? Oh, no. Scottish doctor. Oh, yeah, right.
The Scottish doctor that ended up going and that woman replaced him.
I like
that woman, Kaylee from Firefly.
Yeah, Jennifer Keller. Yeah. She was
awesome. I loved her, but he was more attractive to look at.
I keep thinking Zelenka, but no, that was the other annoying, nerdy...
Zelenka's the annoying one, the Russian one or whatever.
Yeah.
Nah, it's dead to me as well.
Look, come to us later.
But the best Stargate character...
He was very, very...
I actually love the best character for me was actually Vala in her seasons of SG-1.
She added some... comedy to
much
it.
It
made it a little bit more lighthearted.
It made it a better written dialogue type show.
Yeah,
it was quite boring, and you had some comedy moments. And it was, you know, Carter and what's his face, Richard Dean Anderson, are flirting. Isn't that kind of cute and funny? But then when she came on, she brought this attitude and just was so catchy.
And she wasn't subtle about it. It was, you know, because it had been very subtle.
She's very Anya from Buffy.
Yes,
in that regard. It's like a Buffy.
Yeah.
I think that's an entire, you know, podcast on this.
I've got a theory.
Yes, it's
a demon.
Social
demon knows something isn't right there.
I got a theory.
Some kid is dreaming.
And we're all stuck inside his back of a red eye. Where?
You what?
It could be witches. Some evil witches. Oh, dear. Which is ridiculous, because witches, they were persecuted, wicked, good, and love the other women power, and I'll be over here.
Isn't he good? Oh, Joe, ladies and gentlemen. Yay.
Thank you. I'm here until about 20 minutes from now. It's sort of a conversation killer, isn't it? We've gone to Buffy, and we can't go into Buffy because
he hasn't actually watched Buffy.
All right, for 2 points, I vote you out of your own studio. Get out. Get out.
No. Well, come on. Give me the DVDs.
Okay.
I'm happy to have a Buffy marathon. Someone has to educate you.
Buffy marathon.
You've got to educate me on... There are 25 different storylines now.
Why? What else do you need education on?
Tara.
United States of Tara.
Pushing Daisies, so True Blood.
That other night, that was really good.
I haven't actually watched True Blood either, which is, you know, going to put me on the leper scale. But
no, you're okay. It's not interesting. It's just, it's kind of hot.
It's like vampire porn.
It is a little bit. Like, in the second season at one point, this isn't a massive spoiler because it's bound to happen. No, because he bites into her while they're making out. He bites into her neck, right, and gets a mouthful of blood, and then he kisses her with the blood still in his mouth, and she kisses him back.
And then she, like, really likes it, and they keep doing it.
And but she's human, and he's a vampire. It's fucking hot. I love it.
Is there this much flirting in the committees of Vic Bears?
In the committee? Within the committee, you mean?
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Isn't there a general rule that you all have to sleep with each other at some point?
I was accused of that.
Yeah, but Lou tries to live that. It's like living the dream. Like when you go to the Olympics, how you train long and hard. Luke trains long and hard for every hibernation.
Leave my sex life out of this. No, I was threatened of that. Somebody who left the committee actually said, you know, you only all like Luke to sleep with all of you. It wasn't actually true for a change, but...
You instantly went out and made sure that it was, didn't you?
No, I didn't actually. No, in terms of the committee, I've only slept with... No.
You had to stop.
FYI, there are only seven other people on the committee.
I've only slept with one of them.
And Luke's run out of fingers.
I've only slept with one of them, and we didn't even fuck.
It might actually
That is a lie.
It's not a lie.
That is a lie. You have slept with more than one person on that committee.
Who else? Oh, you're on the committee, aren't you? Oh, my
God. You lying bastard. Like, I was going to be like really cunty and say it wasn't that good, but now that, you know, it wasn't that good.
Okay, so it's two.
Right, so there's another section you won't have in the podcast.
Attention, this is a public service announcement. Luke is a slut. That is all.
No, but the committee itself is a very, it's a very good family right at the moment, isn't it? Like, seriously, it is. Like, we all have been through a lot of shit this year. We've put a lot of hard work into it. And it's not just the committee, but it's like, it's the partners of committee men. It's the guys that come to meetings, like you guys who came to a couple of meetings and did photography and stuff. We all bond as a family. We really do. And when Hibernation comes around, it's kind of like our big family reunion. When all our fucking annoying cousins and grandparents come in from interstate to have and have dinner with us.
Think the Golden Girls. But not with old, unattractive women and with attractive, hairy men. And that theme song that goes off in the background.
How can I think Golden Girls when... Isn't the average age of the committee at the moment is like early 30s, like 31 or something?
Yeah, we've got our secretary and Rick are both in their 40s.
Yeah.
He's not going to thank you for saying that.
Sorry, let's rephrase.
I didn't say which end of the 40s he's in.
Late
40s. So he'll be fine. No.
I will.
Oh, Jesus. Rick's kind of like the papa bear of the group, though, isn't he? Like, he looks after everyone. He's kind of gets really annoyed really easily, and we kind of laugh at him for it.
It's like being at dinner with your dad.
Yeah, he's like papa bear.
And then the youngest on the committee would be Jack.
Jack, yeah.
Jack, and then Luke, and then myself.
So yeah, and we're all early 20s. Jack's 20, 20s. 22, 23,
yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we sort of have Burgess, some of the ones that sit in the middle. So we've got Peter, and we've got...
Jason
and Will. And they sort of sit in the middle, and yes.
It's a young committee.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's untraditionally young.
Well,
having said that, there has been some really, really good ideas come out of the young members of the committee. So,
well, that's what
it's good to have a little bit of shake up every now and then.
Well, that's what I was more concerned about, the whole shake up of it's a younger crowd that's coming to the committee this year. How is the balance between the ideals of the older generations and the younger generations kind of come to a head?
Yeah, it's shifted and it's really cool for me. Anyway, you know, I jumped on my first year. I was the youngest on the committee. Everyone else was at least, you know, I think. Another guy was 28, and everyone else was in their 30s and 40s respectively, whilst I was, you know, 21 when I joined the committee. Then the AGM last year happened, and they had four guys in their 20s all of a sudden on the committee, and it all sort of shifted a little bit. But it's been cool. I think we bring some energy to it that's necessary to keep it vibrant and
alive. Existing members of the committee, or the older members of the committee, have taken to it really well. Like, they're happy to have that interaction with the younger people, and you know, they have their own set ideas, and we have their own set ideas, and we work really well to make them, you know, sort of meet halfway and come in the middle. And it works really well.
And the group that we have as well, I think it's especially good that us young guys who've had the ideas and come forward with new ideas actually follow through with making them happen as well, rather than just going, here's an idea, now you all go and do it, well, I'm going to go and party. We all actually really put in. We have an idea, we actually follow it through and make sure it happens properly, and... it usually works out pretty good, so...
Usually.
Yeah.
And kudos to Luke, who organised Berioki, not just Berioki 1, but Berioki 2 and 3, which was like a massive success.
That's amazing. I was so happy with that. I was so worried it wasn't going to go well when we first did it. I sort of suggested it. Everyone went, oh, yeah, sounds kind of good. You can just organise it and we'll see how it goes. And I went, oh, okay. And so I ran it all and got the people down to run it for us and made it all happen. And it turned out to be awesome. So it's good when ideas actually work and everyone enjoys them.
There's never an event go by where someone walks up to us and goes, when's the next Berioki happening?
Yeah.
It's a very common occurrence, so
it's cool.
Well, apart from Berioki, what are some of the other events that have run that perhaps haven't been so well taken?
Not so well taken. Honestly, I think nowadays the events that don't run as well are just the standard den nights. Because it's just a den night. Yeah. And they're literally, if nothing else is happening, it's kind of like, oh, it's just a den night. We'll go when something important's happening. Which is a bit of a shame, because the den nights are fun and it's a good chance to catch up with everyone once a month and all that sort of stuff. And renew your membership and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, when a Berioki happens, people come. When we do a special event on a den night, people generally come because it's a special event. So I'm not sure if any sort of failures in terms of events, really.
No, nothing that I can think of off the top of my head either. Like, most of the things that we've run have been pretty successful this year. The thing that stands out are things like the rock climbing and things like that we organise. And even then, they're quite... everyone who comes has a lot of fun with them. And
yeah.
I think just being a gay group being out of a venue that we're all comfortable with, it sort of puts a dampener on it, and I think that's why a lot of people don't come to events like that. But
and those outside events, yeah,
they still end up being quite successful. We get some pretty good turnouts, like the bowling nights and the rock climbing and things like that. And yeah, ice skating.
I'm looking forward to the next ice skating one because I was working during the hibernation one, so I'm looking forward to the next time you guys are doing ice skating.
Yeah,
I'd like to come along.
Out of point, don't try ice skate, dance to the music, and hold the camera at the same time. I know I can do it, but it wasn't highly advised.
Did you fall?
No.
Oh, damn.
I did not fall for the whole day.
How good would that be? The photos he's clicking at the same time as he's falling. It's like you see this ice coming towards you.
It was actually funny because I fell later on that day, not at the event though.
And it was more amusing to have someone on the ice sort of point to the sign that said no cameras on the ice.
Or some random.
Is there a photo of that?
No. Some random person did that.
No, it was one of the other bears came up. And said, you're not actually supposed to have the camera on the ice.
I thought it was some random bitch who was just like, excuse me. You know what I mean?
How rude. That
and all of a sudden everyone just lynch mobs her. Fantastic.
You're finding like young and old, new ideas are actually well accepted.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has been a bit of a shift. I think that initially they weren't as keen, but I think I know... Probably because of my role being vice president this year rather than being just regular committee, I know I've been listened to a bit more. I have the kind of the grounds to put my foot down more often and say, no, this is how we're doing it. This is how it should be done. And people actually, they have to listen because I outrank them. But...
Dear Mr. President.
But no, being in that role, and we've had a lot of new people. Like, it's funny because the committee is quite young, but in terms of people who have been on the committee, Rick's been there the longest. And the second person longest running on the current committee is me. So a lot of the older guys who are on the committee now, even though they have more wisdom in certain things in their lives and things like that, in terms of Vic Bear's events, they don't have the experience. So they're happy to listen to me and Rick as well. And people like Joe have been in the scene for a couple of years as well, who know how it works and know what works and what doesn't. So, because there were some failures before this committee that didn't work very well. There was a dance party that they had regularly at the Laird, which was a bit of a failure. And
they tried to organise it to cater to their own personal view, basically, and it wasn't widely accepted. So
yeah, and we had a lot of criticism, a lot of feedback about certain things in past years, and we've tried to take it on board. We have a survey out at the moment as well. If you jump on the Vic Bears website on vicbears.org.au, you can actually go to the survey, fill in a survey on each day of hibernation on your thoughts on what worked, what didn't, what you thought about it. And we're going to take every single survey into account. You can win like a subscription to 100% Beef as well. You win a prize for doing it if you are the lucky one chosen. That's kind of cool. But we really want the feedback. So if you're listening to this and you have a moment, you went to hibernation, jump on there and fill it out for us, because we'd love to hear from you and hear what you thought, because we're trying to shape next year's hibernation based on that.
One of the things that you did shape in this year's hibernation was the complete eradication of Mr. Bear, Mr. Cub and Mr. Grizzly, and you went runner-up, like first runner-up, second runner-up, and Mr. Congeniality, which was kind of like a combination of what people raised and a vote amongst peers sort of award.
Correct, yep.
How did you find the feedback just over the whole weekend?
I think before getting into that, we should explain the reason for it. Because we found that in past years, a lot of people were like, he's not a grizzly, why is he winning the grizzly award? Or he's not a cub, why is he winning the cub award?
Or you'd have the case where there was like only one daddy bear would enter the contest. And so they'd automatically have to get the grizzly title, even though they were actually not good on the microphone, not a good person.
But not scoring as highly as someone else who was more deserving of an award, but because they didn't fit into that.
Yeah.
Bear category or the grizzly category, they didn't win.
Years it worked because you had the right numbers and the right people, but some years it didn't work.
And I think especially this year, because there was nobody who fit into the grizzly category. It was all just bears and cubs
and
this
year.
And
that didn't work out. That's worked out like that way. We didn't plan it at all.
Yeah, but it actually fit really well because we made the change before hibernation, before knowing what contestants we were getting.
So they were all cubs really, weren't they?
Pretty much.
Mostly, a couple of bears. A
couple
but
who'd identify
cubs.
As a bear, but most of them are cubs. And if we had a grizzly award, we would have to give it to like someone who was like 25, and it's like, yeah, that doesn't quite work. So that's the reasoning behind it.
I think the reception from it was not really negative, just kind of wondering why. People sort of were like, oh, why did that change? That's a little bit confusing. Why is it a bit different? And I think once we explained it to them, like I just explained it just then, or like Joe just explained it, sorry, with the difference. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
Took credit for that completely. Mike Joe just explained it.
I'm sorry, I just default to the vice president in this case.
You speak for me. But yeah, I think that's exactly the problem that we had. I think as we explained to people like that, people go, oh, I guess that makes sense. No worries. Cool. That being said, I know that not everyone necessarily agreed with that, with the way we were doing things. Kevin?
I didn't have a problem with it.
I've had discussions with you before about this, so I'm going to put you in the spotlight a little bit. What was your opinion on it? What was your opinion on the change? Love you.
I can take the comments you guys have made, and the way that you explained it was really, really good. that wasn't the way that I first heard about it. And I had a bit of a negative sort of effect to it because Bears as a community is supposed to be celebrating the people that are bearing, the people that, you know, had nowhere else to go to. We couldn't go and be teeny boppers on some of the Peel dance floors and things like that. We needed a place of our own and a community built up around it. And they essentially, they looked after their own. And to celebrate that, the first couple of years had Bears, Cubs and Grizzlies as a prize to represent the different sections of the community as itself. My biggest worry about making it first place, second place, third place, and Mr. Congeniality was that it would become a beauty pageant, that it would no longer be celebrating the community and the diversity of the community and the fact that the community looks after itself in the daddy aspects, in the cub aspects, in the bear aspects. It would just be a place of who's the most beautiful person that we can give this crown to. And thank God that didn't happen this year. So I'm a little bit less skeptical about it now. But that was my biggest worry, that it would essentially become something like another sash for someone to walk away with.
And great feedback. It's completely understood. We looked at it from that perspective as well when we first made the decision.
And we had people on the committee as well that actually, we actually had lots of debates about this.
Very strong opinions on both sides of this.
Ultimately, the one that we went with won out. It's the one that I believe was the right one because of what we said before.
Yeah.
But not everyone's going to have the explanation that Joe gave, though. Not everyone's going to have that background on it. People are going to see the change and go, well, why the fuck did you change it? And the traditionalists or whatever, and they might have that perspective of, well, that's stupid. Doesn't make sense.
I think the biggest sealer for the deal for me is because I personally agree with the change that we made, but we're celebrating a cub, a bear, and a grizzly. But what about the otters? What about the wolves? What about every other little facet of our community? Are they not represented in this competition?
Even the chasers as well.
Yeah, like, in that circumstance.
They might identify as a bear inside, but they don't look like a bear. So.
At which point are we going to be giving out trophies for every separate piece of the bear community? And if so, are we going to be having umpteen thousand awards? And
Chaser Bear.
And every single person at the event wins an award, basically. Because Kevin, I understand exactly what you're saying there, but by saying that you fit into one of these three categories could be personally very offensive to someone who doesn't view themselves as fitting into one of those categories. And what's to say they're any less deserving to win an award?
We wrestled with it a lot, the change. We did. Yeah. We all wrestled with it. We had long, long discussions.
Many meetings.
Oh, it was unbelievable. But we got to a decision that we were all sort of happy with at the end. And I think it worked out. I think on the night it came through and it made sense and everyone was pretty happy with it.
And so. I think especially this year, as I said, giving away a Grizzly Award this year would have been laugh out loud ridiculous.
Well, Craig would have had to have gotten it, probably.
Yeah.
He's just the oldest by default. And even he's not that old.
He's not that old. So it would not have worked. So, and the Mr. Congeniality Bear Award was something we added just for a little bit of fun. It's voted on basically by the contestants who was, you know, the best friend or helped out the most or things like that. It's also based on who collected the most money for charity, because the whole point of Hibernation is it's a charity event.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if all the contestants were running around selling raffle tickets and things like that, and part of the big reason for the person who did win, because they went all out, they really gave it their all to try and sell raffle tickets to represent themselves really well and basically raised the most money for charity.
And the funny thing about the guy who won is I had a private conversation with him the next day, and to look at him, you'd think he's one of the most confident people in himself, but it is all a farce. He was shit scared himself, just like anybody else getting up there, and, you know, he was anxious and whatnot. So just because you look good and whatnot doesn't mean that you feel good about everything you do. And it was an eye-opener for me when I actually had that private moment with him, and I kind of, it was at that point I walked away and I thought, no, they gave it to the right person and it wasn't a beauty contest anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
what sold it for me.
Craig is just one of the most lovely guys you'll ever talk to. I didn't meet him until this year myself, but he's an incredibly nice guy. And he did deserve it under every merit, under every category you could think of in terms of the competition. He did deserve it the most, looks aside. So, yeah, goes to the right person. And, yeah, he's not vain at all. You're right. He's like, he looks great. He's got a great body. He works out. On stage, looks amazing. But you talk to him outside of that and he's shy and a bit, oh. So it's really nice. It's refreshing, actually. It's good.
Well, I think that's about all we have time for on this show. Now, just quickly wrapping up, websites that you mentioned for the gaming was...
www.palgn, that's palgn.com.au.
And the Vic Bears website is www.vicbears.org.au, which we also have listed on our podcast website, which is cubbyhouse.net.au. If you haven't already gone, check it out. We're actually going to be redesigning it shortly, so watch the changes over the next couple of months and see how you can be involved in not only the podcast, but also the content as well from the website and the blog. Thank you very much, Luke, for coming on.
No worries.
And to Joe.
Happy to be here.
And once again, thank you to the not-so-quiet Kevin.
Yes, we'll fix that next time.
Yes, I'm sure we will.
Editing.
Yeah. His deep brooding persona and, yeah, fail. Yeah, I'm being attacked.
Please, save the attacking till later. Well, I want to go get the camera.
I'm holding a torch, not a knife.
His fly is undone.
He did it up before.
Not undone now.
He did it up before.
His fly was undone.
It was great. It's great podcast viewing.
Sure, it could be undone again at a later date. If you'd like to email us, the podcast email is podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. Until next show, thank you for listening. Actually, thank you for all the feedback that we've got from the last show. It's great to hear that we've still got supporters after a good couple of months in hibernation ourselves. So from Cookie and the rest of the team here at the Cubby House Podcast, have a good week. We'll catch you next show.
You've seen the trailer for Vampire Bite, Vampires Suck, or Vampires Bite, or something?
No.
It's like the new scary movie type thing, but they've just done a whole piss take on Twilight.
Thank God.
And it's called Vampires Suck, I'm pretty sure. And
does it have Anna Faris in it?
No, it doesn't.
Disappointing.
But it's total piss take, and Edward just looks so gay in it, it's hilarious. Like, he's all, like, white and annoying, and he's just, like, in
as
the sun.
As opposed to normal.
And in the sun. I mean, he's in the sun, he's just, like, shining glitter and gold, like, ridiculously. And then someone goes, I love you, Edward, you're the best. Some teen girl goes, no, Jacob's the best. And hits him with a chair. It's just stupid.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.